Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, folks. Dave Schmidt, I'm your host here again tonight on the Sedona Connection. I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. It's the evening of July 24th, and it's 6 p.m. on the West Coast, and it's 9 p.m. here on the East Coast in my home here in Florida, and wherever you are here in the United States on this live program tonight. Again, we want to thank everybody for joining you. I'm trying to get my Facebook Live page to come up. I'm refreshing my page, but that's not coming up for some reason, so I don't know what's going on there, but I think it's going well, but other than that, I want to say thank you again for everybody for joining us tonight, and Blanca, how are you doing this fine evening?
Doing very well, Dave, thank you so much. As I told you, Al and I were outside most of the day today, and it was pretty hot, so it's nice to be back in the cool air conditioning in the home.
Yeah. Well, my Facebook page is kind of freezing, is what
Uh-oh.
It is, at least on my computer. And hold on here just a second. I'm going to see if I can get to work again, because I like to know what's going on there. And it just takes, you know, a little bit just to get it done. There we are. I'm good. And folks, for those of you that are on Facebook, I always enjoy the sound that you let us know, because Blanc and I can sound great to each other, but we don't know what it's sounding like out there to you out there. And then you can put your comments in there. And I'm getting folks are just saying that it's all good on Facebook. So, okay, well, with that, Blanca, is there anything else that you would like to share with us tonight, or just any comments right off the bat, other than the fact that you had a really hot day today in Atlanta?
That's what it was. Like I said, I'm just cooling off. As I told you, I'm not real sure what's going on with the sun, but maybe other people have noticed it's a pretty hot sun these days. And so if you're out a lot, it can give you a whammy. But other than that, we're good. Everything's good. And just looking forward to hearing what you have to say. Bring us up to date on some of the things that you want to address.
Yeah. We're entering into the season here in Florida. We get thundershowers almost every afternoon. We already had one here today. You know, and they just come, boom, and then they move on. And sometimes you get the thunder and lightning, and I'm just off the beach, and sometimes it stays out there in the ocean. And I had one the night before last night. It was out there for about 6 or 7 hours, but it never came inland. So, yeah. But that's the scoop there. So with that, again, a couple of announcements. Folks, I still have plenty of room for the workshop in Newark, New Jersey. That's this coming Saturday. So I know some of you are wondering, well, you know, how do you register? You always go to the website. Always go to the website, and the registration page is there. And we've got enough room in that room that you can just show up and register even there on the spot. That would be no problem with that. And then 2 weeks after that, Santa Ana, Southern California. I'll be back out there. And again, we still have plenty of room on the registration that is there as well. And also remember, folks, at the workshops, I can share a whole lot more information than what I can share here on the internet. Now, again, people say, well, why? It's because there are people that are out there that flat out want to stop what we are doing. If I give too much information that's sensitive or security-based information on the internet, they will take it, malign it, manipulate it, repost it, put it out there to the public, and it creates problems for funders is what it does, and brokers. So that's why I'm limited to what I can say here. But when I'm at a workshop, there's usually always just less than 100 people. Every single person is registered. I know everybody's name. I have their email, and I'm saying it verbally with them agreeing to basically, you know, confidential information. So I always give more information there. There are very few questions at a workshop that I can't answer. So that's why if it's important to you and you have some specific issues you really want to know, show up, and that's where we can discuss them and you can answer the questions. And if your cost is an issue, then please remember, go to the website. I have the scholarship rate. So it's usually, I always try to make room for anybody that wants to show up. If you want to be there, I want you to be there. Let alone the information. That's great, because I share so much more. You get the really big picture about, what's going on, why this is happening, where this money is coming from, why they're doing this, why is it being done now, what is the timing of all this. And I consistently get that from the people that attend. In fact, I have this one wonderful lady. She's actually attended 12 of them. And she says, Dave, they just keep getting better and better and better. And I'm usually adding a little bit more information or giving a fuller picture as I go on. So the basic content is the same, but I'm also bringing some new stuff to each of those. So we've got Newark, New Jersey this Saturday. 2 weeks after that, we are in Santa Ana, California. And then 3 weeks after that, we're in Chicago. And then we go into September and I go to Australia. And excuse me, you probably heard me say that I got to make a side trip because my son, who's in his 30s, well, he left today to Singapore. He is going to be going to Singapore where he's going to be teaching drama in English in a high school there in Singapore. So obviously, I got to make a side trip to see him. In fact, originally, I was going to go to Singapore to visit him, and I thought, hey, I'll just do a workshop while I'm there. And then the other folks, a lot of folks that said, well, why don't you just go back to Australia because you already got a good group there, and then you can make a side trip over to visit your son. So it'd be great to be visiting my son in Singapore. Never been there, so. Okay? So that's basically it on the announcements. Blanca, anything else you want to share with us? Because we'll get really shortly right into the program.
Yes, I believe, were you still going to offer, or were the metal coins still on offer for the Newark, New Jersey? Is that the last one?
Oh, yes, yes. Thank you for bringing that up. If you want to purchase metal one coins, and if you want to get a great buy, you want to come to the workshop in Newark, because this will be the last time that the special will be offered. In essence, it says you buy 3 coins and you're going to get one free. So in essence, you're getting a 25% discount. And what that means is as soon as the coin goes public, you have immediately gotten a 25% return on your money. That's a pretty good deal. So you can't complain about the cost of the workshop if you really want to get some coins. And the coins are just, again, in my conversations I've had with Robert, it's far exceeding his expectations about how solid the coins are going to be and where he feels that they're going to go. So it's the people who get to buy the coins pre-public market that are getting these good rates at either $22, and it's gone from there up to $44. And so, but those are going to be absolutely great rates. And so, because, I mean, we're being told to anticipate by professionals in the industry within a couple of months after the coin goes public, it's going to just explode. It could be anywhere in the hundreds or to the thousands of dollars. And you've already got a 25% return if you come and purchase them on site at the workshop in Newark. And this will be the last time that they're giving that opportunity. So, okay? And so, again, thank you for bringing that up. Anything else on that?
Well, sure, that's it. Yes, if people are wanting to learn about it, they can go on the Metal One Coin website, and then when you're there, you can have your questions answered. People there from Metal One Coin will be there. And I would say learn about it, whether you take advantage of it or not, at least you'll be informed. And then if you decide that's not for you, at least you did as much as you can to avail yourself of an opportunity. Or if you start learning that this looks pretty good, then you're armed for questions at the workshop. So it's an opportunity, and then you can decide whether it's the way to go for you or not. So I'm glad that there's still that opportunity at this particular workshop. That's good.
Yeah. Folks, when I'm glancing away, and I'm basically glancing at the emails that are coming in and the comments coming up on Facebook, but this guy, he writes me an email and says, are you online on Facebook? Folks, I can't answer your email when I've got hundreds, if not 1,000 people out there on the program, okay? So don't expect me to answer your email while the program is going on. I can comment on it when I see it, but I'm not going to take the time to type in, you know, the answer to the email and put everybody else on hold just because you haven't done your work and gone to Facebook and see it for yourself. It's there, okay? Yeah. Now, I do want to make a comment on one of the gentlemen that had written in on the Facebook page, and he's from Puerto Rico. He says, thanks to the workshop in Puerto Rico, he learned a lot. You know, that was there, and he said he learned about Metal One Coin. I just want to say that for folks, we just want you to know, for you folks in Puerto Rico, our hearts go out for you. A lot of turmoil going on there right now. A lot of unrest taking place because of what's taking place within your government and the governor. And it did come out in the news today, he's going to resign. So I'm not here to take a position one side or the other. That's, you know, not my business, but we just want you to know our heart goes out to you. We hope that you're doing fine. We hope this is a good transition for you and things go well. But I was just amazed because, see, there's only about 3.2 or 3.4 million people that live on the whole island. And they were broadcasting in the news that these demonstrations had 600,000 to 700,000 people in them. That means about one out of every five or one out of every six people that lived on that island were there in those demonstrations. That's massive. I'm going to tie in that a little bit of that tonight as an illustration when I talk about project funding, about some of the reasons why this is coming forward. But I just wanted to just say, folks in Puerto Rico, you know, I hope you're doing good. Hang in there. And you've got a tough time in there. And thank you for your heart. My heart just always goes out for you folks that are there. That's all support of what I want to say. And again, I was there back in, I think it was in February, I was in Puerto Rico for a workshop. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so, okay, then a guy just says, no, the governor did not resign. Well, I've seen it in the news three times now, three different sources, that he announced he was going to resign tomorrow. So that's just what I'm quoting the news that I'm seeing, okay? So that's what it is. Okay, well, with that, that's all I have on that. And Blanca, anything else before we go into the program?
No, I think that's it, Dave. I think we're ready for the show.
Okay, so tonight I'm going to talk about project funding. I haven't talked about this for a while. First of all, it's extremely important to know project funding and the currency exchanges are two entirely separate issues. Don't try to combine them together or bring them together and think that they're the same. They're not. They're two issues supported by two completely different groups and two completely different funding sources. Currency exchange is a private contract exchange, and you have to be in contract with basically, you know, some private group that has been authorized by U.S. Treasury. Project funding is going to be much bigger. Project funding, again, this source we know is the different lines, the benevolent lines of the Dragon families. They have always said that their intention was always about project funding, funding of projects, okay? So it was not necessarily about financing of currencies or bonds. That was entirely separate, and the monies for those were a separate issue. Why would they then be putting out literally trillions of dollars for project funding? I want to give a little bit of a background once again, and this brings in the whole issue about how the Dragon families are releasing these monies. First of all, it's important to know who are these Dragon families. They are a group of 128 different family clans, and they trace their family genealogies going back literally thousands and thousands of years. They are made up out of the royal bloodlines that come out of Europe, Middle East, Asia, and China. Now, when we talk about the royal bloodlines and the Dragon families, it's important to know they're not all the same. Because they've been around for thousands of years, some of them, they're like very distant third and fourth cousins, and they don't even hardly even know each other, but they're still in that bloodline. So some of them are very benevolent. They are what you call on the white hat side. And there's some of them that are not benevolent. They're on the malevolent side. They're about under power and control. Some of them, they fund, you know, basically part of what we would call cabal operations. But at the top of the leadership, and there is a leadership structure in that, you get up to the spot, what is called about the top 10 to 20 of them. All of those 10 to 20 have lots of money. This is money they've been accumulating through various resources, predominantly gold, for thousands of years. The benevolent ones have always stayed true that it was their job to be the caretakers and the custodians of all of this gold to be released for humanity at the right appointed time. Now, the question is about, well, what is this right appointed time and why haven't they ever done this before? Then you have to come back and understand that we live in a world where money has predominantly been controlled by what we would call the cabal forces. The central banking system, which is a cabal-run, controlled organization, And in the United States, it's our Federal Reserve that is our representative of the central banking system. They control the ebb and flow of all the money around the world. They have the ability, they control the banks around the world. So if the Dragon families, up until now, if they were to have released $10, $20, $30 trillion, all the money has to go through the banks, they would end up funneling the money so that over a period of time, it would all generate and flow back to their power and control. And it wouldn't be doing what they had intended it to do. They've always known this. And it's like the Dragon family says, okay, we have the money, but we don't have the guns, i.e. the military power. And the military power, at the end of the day, will always control the flow of the money that's there. We have finally come to a position, and a lot of this is due to the power of the internet, where everyday people like you and me are becoming empowered with the information and the truth around this that has been hidden from us for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. This is creating a shift, and it's creating a shift of people waking up, humanity waking up, and with that, these elite cabal controllers are losing their power. Now, when they say that they're going, I use the term that they're going to neuter them. What that means is they're not going to kill them. They're not going to do away with them. They're not going to get rid of them. But their power is going to be neutered. And they have their power because all the world's money is in the banks that they control. Well, for some time now, they've been working on setting up what is called a new quantum computer banking system, the quantum computer system for the banking industry. That's in place, I should say, it's ready to go. It's ready to be moved in. And the benevolent Dragon families know they can use that system to safely move the money around the world without it falling into the wrong hands. Now, the Dragon families wanting to release these funds started 75 years ago with the Bretton Woods Agreement in the 1940s. That was an agreement where the countries had come together. In the Bretton Woods Agreement, that's when they formed the United Nations, the World Bank, the Bank of International Settlements, and the International Monetary Fund. They were all to be used as vehicles to move this money around the world. And why did they want to move this money around the world? Because they wanted to create what is called economic parity amongst countries around the world. Because we live in a world where you have the elite and the powerful dominate the weak, or I should say the weaker. I want to be careful how I say that term. We have to look at the fact that we still live in a world that over half the world's population, about 4 billion people, still live on less than $10 a day. That's abject poverty in today's world. That's called basic survival. And so what you have is half of the world's population living in total abject poverty. And then you have a small percentage of the world's population that made extremely wealthy, and then you have the middle class out of the rest. This creates these disparities. And what it also does, it's basically the foundation which gives foundational aspects to wars. Warring, killing, the powerful, controlling elite over the weaker. And this money has always been intended to neutralize that and bring our world to a place of peace. You see, when you have economic parities around the world, you don't go to war with people who are at economic parities with you. Wars are always between the powerfuls and the weakers. As almost always is what it is. And money has the ability to neutralize that when it's dispersed evenly around the world. That was their intention. Those organizations were set up in the Bretton Woods Agreement. And then the cabal used their police power control, their military power control, came in and took control of all those organizations, and then used them to their benefit at the population, the masses, the everyday people like you and me at our expense. So that didn't work. The next attempt was what was called the Green Hilton Memorial Agreement. When President Sukarno of Indonesia, who was a Dragon family member, had about $6 trillion to release around the world, and he had set up a compact and an agreement with President Kennedy in the 1960s. That compact, that Green Hilton Memorial Agreement, was ready to be released. Kennedy, President Kennedy, had known that the what you call the cabal controllers, the shadow world controllers in the United States, it came through the controlling of the Federal Reserve, and our CIA was the Black Ops Operation Organization through all that was done. Kennedy had already announced he was going to get rid of the Federal Reserve. He was going to do away with it. And he was going to totally restructure the CIA. If this money would have been put into place, that would have happened. Federal Reserve was gone. CIA was totally, completely restructured, which means then these cabal powerful forces lost their vehicles to have power and control over the world's money supply. So it wasn't a coincidence when that Greenhill Memorial Agreement was signed that 9 days later, Kennedy was assassinated. That's all in public record that is out there. So that didn't work. So through these years, the Dragon families have known they really couldn't release this money until it was safe, until there was a place that it was safe. But they also began to realize that there was a different way to release the money that the powerful and the elite couldn't control. See, they tried it from the top up with, you know, with the Bretton Woods Agreement, but there was too much corruption at the very top of the countries. They tried it from the top up, you know, with the Greenhill Memorial Agreement. Again, there was way too much corruption at the top of the banking system. So this time, instead of bringing from the money from the top and bringing it down, they flipped it. And this time, they're going to empower probably scores of thousands, if not over 100,000 people, to fund humanitarian aid projects all around the world. That's everyday people like you and me. Now, I and the folks that I met that represented some of those Dragon families, they had always said, your organization, the Sedona Connection, the people on your list, will be some of the early people brought in to do that. What that means is, in essence, you get to end up being on a list. And folks, I'm not collecting a list now. Don't send me your project. I have no intent of reading about your projects. We will do that when I am notified that it's time to start releasing funds. Until then, I don't know, because I don't know what the structure is going to be. I don't know what the parameters are going to be, but this is what we can anticipate. It will basically be like you're applying for a grant. You're going to have to send in either a business proposal or your, you know, detailed idea of this is how I'm going to spend my money. And then what they will do, they will release the money through you to fund what you have talked about. You do that with 100,000 people. How do you stop 100,000 people spending $5 to $10 million each on humanitarian aid projects all around the world? You see, this way, it's not one organization that's moving all the money that they can use their banking power to come in and stop. But what they can't stop is the money being released to you. The money being released to you, and then you go out and do what you said you're going to do with it. Now they will watch you on that. This new quantum computer system has the ability to watch how you spend that money. They will regulate it for you, and they will make sure that you basically you are doing what you said you are going to do. Now, why is this another reason this is so important? What I mentioned to you is that we have over 4 billion people that live on about $10 a day. Those people living on that level have basically lived in a world, and they're predominantly, you know, in Africa and Asia and places like that, where they didn't have good communication. They didn't have good education. Most of those people have not had, you know, professional education. They haven't gone through, you know, school. So, and they didn't have good communication sources of news sources and stuff like that, because they didn't have money to buy a TV or hardly a radio. So they were pretty ignorant to what was going on out there in the rest of our world. So what we had was two very, very different worlds. We had the people living in utter poverty, ignorant to what was going on in the world, and then we had the rest of us who could have access to news, information sources, and stuff like that. And now all of a sudden we live in the world where the internet has come along. And we live in the world where now instant communication is available on what we call our smartphones. Our smartphones. This phone ties me into the whole world. as long as I got a decent phone connection, I have access to everything that's going on in the world through the internet through this. Well, I was just reading an article the other day. They have now developed a phone that is being put together in places like India and stuff like that, and the cost is so low. It's a modified smartphone. And they said that they are going to be able to sell over 1 billion of these because they're going to make these available to the people that are living on $20 and $30 a day. And the phone and access to the internet will only cost them $3 to $4 a month. A little over 2 years ago, I was in Thailand. And I had the opportunity to go on a tour because, you know, Bangkok is the city of all these canals, and we went on this canal. As we were going on some of the what's called the back areas, I was going through an area of the poverty areas of Bangkok where I would see the back of the people's homes. These were utter poverty shacks. But what was interesting is you would have a family that would live there, and even though they lived in utter poverty, there always seemed to be at least one smartphone in that family. What does this mean? It means these people who have lived in ignorance, uneducated, utter poverty, are now waking up. They're waking up to the fact that they live in a world and their world living conditions are entirely different than what we live in. And it doesn't take long for massive demonstrations and organizations to take place that these people can go into what is called massive demonstrations and riots. If you watch the news, especially what comes off of Facebook, you're beginning to see that there are massive, massive organizations in scores of countries all going on around the world week after week after week. And I want to use the illustration of what just happened in Puerto Rico. Look how very quickly they were able to organize and get together 15 to 20% of the whole island's population into a massive demonstration. And they did that in just a few days. Why? Because of this. Oh, that was my stand that fell on the floor. But because of this. Now, let's go to places like India, Africa, where they live in utter poverty, they start getting these. Can you imagine how easy it would be for them to organize massive demonstrations where there's 1 million and 2 million people showing up? And their leadership starts communicating with others all around the world. Folks, it's not hard to see that they could have a massive demonstration organization organized all around the world where they could have literally hundreds of millions of people, not close to 1 billion people, all protesting at the same time. The elite and the cabal have always said their greatest fear is the human race waking up. These are the potential for the human race that have lived in poverty for centuries to wake up. And the benevolent dragon families, they know that. They know that if they don't start releasing these humanitarian aid funds so that these people can have a decent education, a decent house, they can live a life without living in utter starvation or just in desperate need of food, they can have good health care. If they can start living in even what is called a substandard of, you know, a middle class lifestyle, it's a massive improvement to them. That keeps those people progressing to where we don't have this massive unrest. If we don't do that, these 4 billion people have the ability to organize and create massive unrest all around the world. That's a catastrophe for all of us. That's one of the reasons why these benevolent dragon families have understood they need to get this money out there so we keep our world at a place of peace. Not only help the lifestyle and the improvement of the people in for all around the world. And then we are the ones that get to have the benefit of moving that money out, because it said instead of it's trying to go through the structures of the old corrupt power controlling system, it's usually masses of people, you know, 80 to 100,000 people, everyday people like you and me, to give the money away. When the more people you use, the more places it's going to go. It doesn't stay into a small stream. That's the primary purpose and the background of project funding. Now, all you have to do is be on my newsletter list. That's all you have to do. Don't send me about, you know, your project idea. Don't ask me that when you're going to fill out paperwork. None of that happens until I get the word from the funding sources that we are ready to start moving forward with project funding. Because, see, that creates such a volume at work of work that I'm going to have to bring in a large number of staff and volunteers to process, you know, 6, 8, 10,000 names is what it is. That's because we roughly, that's what we can have come through. So it would take a lot. I have to process that many people, to bring in, to create a client file for you, and then to receive your project ideas, and then to submit that to the funding sources. You see, that's a massive structural organization. So we will do that when that is time, at that time. So all you have to do is stay in touch and be on my list, and that's when I know that these funds will start coming forward. Now, what kind of projects? The big question is, well, will they accept this project of mine? I have no idea, folks. I don't know what their parameters are, other than the fact that the intentions is to take the money and put it out there and put it to work in helping people so it stimulates global economy. That's its intention. And there's all kinds of different areas and reasons it can be used for. There's been discussions on it from various people about, you know, that yes, you can borrow money to start businesses as long as you're employing people and stuff like that. Here's what I know. We have not received anything specifically from the funders of what the criteria is. So I don't know. I can't answer those questions for you. Will this project be funded? All I know is it has to be humanitarian in nature, and it's designed to create jobs and stimulate a global economy. Those are the broad-based issues that they're looking for. And they want it to go all around the world, not just here in the United States alone, because it's designed to put it to work. So, but, you know, you can put the money to work in the United States, because the better we do, then the more people will start giving money away as well. So that's the parameters that I am aware of. Now, when is that going to happen? That's always the biggest question, and it's just like the currency exchange. They're not talking. Of course, they would never be talking and allowing that the rumors to be released about when these funds might start moving, because if that information comes out, then you have the cabal source stepping in and creating chaos and trying to shut it down, because it's a threat. It's a threat to their system. So that's the biggest issue. That's the issue on project funding. And I remember, said project funding is entirely different from the currency exchanges and also what is called the bond exchanges as well. Now, I don't do bonds. I've never done bonds, so that's why I don't talk about bonds. There's others that have done bonds. I focus on the currency exchanges, on the private exchange list that is there. And in the currency exchange, I've always said there's round one and there's round two. Round one are the people who have already turned in their currencies. There's tens of thousands. There's probably 30, 40,000 people around the world who are involved in round one. I was able to get a very small group involved in that. When that is finished, as of now, we are being told there will be a second round opportunity. And that will come later, but I don't know the criteria of that. So that's pretty much it. That's it, kind of explaining the issues around project funding. And anticipate the fact that it will be a very large sum of money. And we have also been told that they will watch how you spend that money. And we have been told that if you show that you can spend the money appropriately, wisely, and prudently for its intention to be put to work, that money will never stop. It will never stop. A big question a lot of people have is, well, how can I benefit from that personally? Well, here's how you benefit from it personally. You set up a nonprofit corporation, make yourself be the CEO of that, and then you can pay yourself a very nice wage for being the CEO of this nonprofit organization. That's fine. That's okay. There has to be an organizational structure. You can pay yourself a very nice CEO salary for being the one who's moving the money logistically, and that's a way you could personally benefit from it. And they'll give other parameters as well about what will be involved in that. But as of now, that is all that we know. So with that, Blanca, why don't you go ahead and come back onto the program, and we would love to hear your comments.
Well, it's good to get an update on project funding and that's still around. Now, so is it correct to understand that you will be a conduit for both the currency exchange and project funding? Because you're real clear about their different tracks for money, but is it good understanding to know that you'll be a conduit for both as the opportunities open up?
As of now, yes. Okay.
Okay.
Currency exchange is solid. That's already under contract.
Right.
The project funding is not under contract, but it's what I am being told by people who are in touch with the funders. Yes, you will be one of the conduits to be able to move the money through to your people.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Very good. So because then people, of course, they get excited, and then there's so much noise on the Internet about how to access this and what you have to do. From what I heard is if you're involved in the currency exchange process, you have already given your funds, you already have a relationship with Dave, and that then you're part of that currency exchange. And if you want to be part of the project funding, as long as they're on your list and active in on your list, that then they will have access to the opportunity. As you learn more how this is going to unfold, then they have the opportunity to participate in this if they have a project. Is that a correct understanding?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Okay.
And let me make the comment, because, you know, let's say I've got to process 8,000 people. That's a lot, especially
yes.
when you're going through them one at a time. It could take 4, 6, 7, 8 months to get through everybody on that.
Right.
And I've been very, very clear about this. The people who have attended the workshops will be put at the front of the line. And why is that? Well, it's my way of saying thank you back to you, because, folks, if I wasn't doing these workshops, I wouldn't have the revenue, I wouldn't have the income to be able to do any of this. I wouldn't be here. You would have to find somebody else to exchange your currency, somebody else to get project funding through. It's the people who have attended the workshops are the people who are making this happen for all of us. And so what I have said, that you will be the people who will be in the position and being at the front of the line. That's all it is. It's not that they're going to get money and others aren't. No, it's just that they're at the front of the line. That's all it is and nothing else. But it can mean the difference of 2, 4, 5, 6 months of when you would receive funds for projects, being at the front of the line versus the end of the line. That's the benefit that people get. That they will be at the front of the line for the processing. So.
Right, and I've heard several people, and there's been several occasions where the timing was right, that being in the most recent workshop was really opened up a nice opportunity for people. So it's good to be active and to support the cause here. And so I think that's something to emphasize. Now, most people who have been involved in this and have been listeners have realized that it's a process. It's even a process just for it to be initiated. So one can expect as it unfolds and people are being processed, it is going to take time. So that's something else to kind of prepare for mentally. Now, from what you know, and I know you probably don't have a specific answer, but just from what you have seen, do you feel that both of these streams of money will be initiated at the same time?
I can only give you my opinion. I don't know this for certain, but I would say no.
Okay.
I would say, because in fact that lines up with a question that I just had come in on Facebook where it says, is a collapse necessary in order for the new quantum financial system to be implemented? I'm not going to say that the collapse is necessary, but I can say that an economic downturn will aid it. Because an economic downturn or the economy falling apart, it's easy for them to flush out the current old system and bring in a new one and say that's one of the things that they have to do without creating panic and chaos around the world. It could be very easily the fact that we could see an economic downturn, the new system comes in, and then they do the first releasing of funds, which would be for currencies and bonds. Let all the dust settle from that, and then they start project funding. That's just my opinion, but it's a logical explanation to me that project funding would be the second phase of all this money coming out. But I have said, in the way it's been explained to me, the releasing of these funds is not just a one-shot deal. This is going to go on for 6, 8, 10 years. This is not just a one-shot opportunity, because they can only release so much money at a time out into the global economy without creating economic chaos. So it's done on a step-by-step basis, is what it is. And so that's my opinion about how I see it happening. I see currency exchanges and bonds money coming out first, and then after that settles is that project funding loan.
Well, that's excellent. Well, then to marry what you talked about last week about people working on a positive basis about the frequency and their thoughts, etc., isn't it interesting that we had this nice update from one week to the next? So I would say to people, in addition to working on your frequency, you've got a validation here. Dave was able to give us an update and a good one on project funding, which we haven't gotten in some time. So get your project plans ready and your frequency is all I have to say.
I was quiet for a period on the project funding. It was because I wasn't getting any new information from funding sources. And
right.
I just felt it was best to not speculate anything on that. And I got a great update in this last week, and so that's why I was able to, again. But, you know, what I just shared, though, tonight is basic foundational on the project funding. It's what I've said before, but I just haven't, you know, talked about it for a while. So.
Well, the update's appreciated.
Good. I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else for tonight around that topic?
No.
Any questions?
No, I think you gave a nice, concise update. And basically the questions that I had were just things that I just wanted to make sure were clear and clear for our listeners as well.
Good. Okay. Well, you know, and again, I didn't see anybody calling in with their hands raised saying that they had some questions on the program tonight. So I'm willing to call in tonight. Well, we've been going for almost 45 minutes. So again, when I do programs like this, I like to keep them a little bit shorter. So yeah. There was just another question that came up on Facebook. It says, is it possible that a downturn would occur before the 2020 elections, or they wait till? I have no idea on the timing of that. I have no idea. I just don't. So anything I say would be speculating. And I'm not going to speculate, because there's so much involved in the releasing of these funds that it's going to have global political impact that anybody who says anything is just speculation. So I'm not even going to go there on that. So, okay. Well, that's all I got. Anything else, Blanca?
Well, all I can say is, yes, there's going to be a lot of change, and if people have been paying attention, it's just been escalating and hasn't quit. So that's another reason why to keep your mind steady, because it's going to get very interesting. And even when this announcement comes through and funds come through, just like you said last week, that's also going to require a steady peace of mind. And keep your wits about you. So I guess all I can say is hang on to your hats.
Okay. All right. Well, with that, folks, we want to thank you, everybody, for joining us here again tonight. And then we'll see you again next week on the show.
Good night.